Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I've got my power juice.
Okay.
Here, which is all nice. Sorts of disgusting things. Beetroot, watercress, celery, kale, ginger, and a bit of coconut water and water.
Brilliant.
Okay. Am I going to become like you, Mo? Am I going to be an elite runner on that? Is that my
fuel? Yeah, after that, you might be. You never know.
Hello. I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is my wardrobe malfunction. And how are you all this week? What have I been up to? Not very much. I've just been chained to my laptop again for hours on end every day, working on a new something, which will be revealed next year. Yeah, and I have actually been running. I've got way back into my running. I did 12K day before yesterday, so I'm feeling good. And as luck would have it, and maybe the reason I was inspired is that this being episode 63 and the fact that my special guest is our first ever sporting star might have something to do with it. We're starting at the top because today I am speaking to the record-breaking multi-Olympic legend, Samo Farah. Oh, so let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. It's really difficult to know how to begin when describing today's guest. He's the most successful British track athlete in modern Olympic history. A serial record breaker, a quadruple double winner, winning successive Olympics and world championships in 10,000 metres and 5,000 metres. A marathon record holder. He has a waxwork in Madame Tussauds, golden post boxes in Teddington, and even his own dance move, the Mobot. Of course, it's Samo Farah. Samo, how do you feel about being called Samo? Or do you kind of get a bit embarrassed about that?
I get a little bit embarrassed because I'm just Mo, and obviously, you know, having achieved good things in, you know, throughout my career, got given the title, so, you know. But sometimes you're just like, yeah. People often ask me, is like, what do you want to be called? I'm like, Mo.
But it must have, I mean, have you ever... Has it sort of helped you in certain situations, having your knighthood? Or, you know, it's like, have you managed to get upgraded on a fancy flight or into a restaurant or something?
No, often, yeah, I do get a lot of nice things. And just people, you know, often say, listen, I was there that Super Saturday, or I was there for your career. And often we do go places, you know, people are just kind of maybe send a drink your way, or, you know, in a restaurant where you go, oh, yeah, hi, Mo, how are you? Set you here. You do get treated differently,
and
which is a nice thing, you know. I don't expect it, but, you know, there's a lot of nice people out there in the world.
Yeah, and I think that's probably not because of your knighthood. I would imagine it's much more because of what you've achieved and where you've come from. And, I mean, it is really, truly quite remarkable, and I know you will have heard that so much, but it is remarkable what you've done in your life.
No, it's amazing what I've done in my career.
Yeah.
As a little boy, you know, having that dream and then that dream becoming true, it's been amazing. And I look back in my career now and go, yeah, I was 16 at that point. I was this age. And to me, what stood out the most, it's 2012. You know, nobody, you know, can take that away from you for what we did as a three of us making history that Super Saturday. And I think often when people do refer, they think that moment.
Absolutely. But for me, I remember funny enough, you did the Booper run, 10K Booper run. This must have been 12 years ago, 11 years ago. Do you remember that? Did you do it then?
Bank holiday normally is on, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I remember my daughter, Esme, she was and still is obsessed by you. She's nearly 21 now. And she decided, aged 11, that she was going to do this race. And you had to be 16 and over from memory. Yeah. So we put her in a bra and I padded her bra right. I said, okay, come on, you want to do it, just go and do it. But she managed to find you in the crowd. And I remember her turning round and we were at the start and she looked at me and she had tears in her pouring down her face like she'd met Justin Bieber. Most kids would be doing that if they met Justin Bieber. I'll never forget that moment watching you next to my daughter and then you just elegantly glided away.
To normal people, it looks easy, but often it's not. But again, it's finding that balance where, you know, you have to work hard. You've got to stick at it. And I think I was lucky enough to be able to, you know, find running because, you know, if I wasn't a runner, I don't know what I'd be good at. And often it's that questions, what we're good at, what can we do, how do we get the best of out of ourselves?
Yeah. Okay, so when you had, at the age of 16, that was your dream, is to become an elite runner. You realised your dream beyond your wildest expectations as a teenager. After 2012, what was your dream post that? What do you dream for now?
So, yeah, it's been different phases of my life where, you know, you think certain things and then over time it changes and then you achieve certain goals and then the goals, you know, keep moving up. So I remember age of 16, I went to Disneyland, Florida, for example, where I got invited to go, you know, part of the Olympic youth it was. And at that point, I remember going to Disneyland, going on all the rides, coming back, and they chose me as an athlete, had potential, you know, could, you know, pursue from a career. So I came back from that moment going, I want to be an athlete. And that was a big decision. And then at that moment, you know, I stuck at the running track, kept training. And there was another point in watching Sydney Olympics, seeing, you know, watching the 10,000 metres and going, wow, I want to be an Olympic champion. And that was the moment where I said, listen, what do I need to do to become an Olympic champion? How do I train harder? How do I, you know, get the best out of myself? And if I didn't watch that race or see that way, then I don't think I would achieve what I have. And then again, doing it, see what I did in London was incredible. It was, you know, a dream come true. And at that moment, you go, wow. And nobody can take that away from you, and you achieve that. And then by that point, you're like, as an athlete, you always think, or we still do to this day, when you win that moment or you achieve your dream, you're always thinking, once you cross the line and finish that, 2 days, 3 days later, you're like, yeah, what's next? Yeah. You never go, keep still and go, I achieved that. I'm going to, you know, sit back now. You never do.
So what was your goal after 2012?
The next goal was, can I do it next Olympics and can I win same again? And that's what I did. 2016 in Rio, did the double, and at that point I was like, it'll be nice to make history, you know, there's not many athletes who's won double, and then to come back again.
Extraordinary. And I mean, really, and today, what is your dream
in my athletics career or in just general?
Both. Okay, obviously it's going to be for your family, to be happy, healthy and well, but for you, Mo, what's your dream now for you as an athlete?
I think just kind of get the best out of myself. I felt like, you know, last year was hard for me personally and in my athletic career, being injured and couldn't, you know, do what I do love. And probably just get back on the road again, get racing. That's what I like to do, maybe another year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just say farewell to, you know, for all the people who supported me and finish on a good note. I think that's the key. I try and think about that, you know, how could that be perfect picture of you, because often, you know, in our career or in general, sometimes we think too late. I never want to think it's too late, if that makes sense, to say farewell.
Yeah. Will you train? Would you ever consider training? Finding the next superstar. Would you ever consider doing that?
Yeah, for sure. I've got my coaching license, and that's something that, you know, I have thought long about, even when I was competing, to see what we can give back to the younger generation and how we can, you know, guide them into the right things.
Mm. And have you ever thought of doing ultra running? There's an amazing book, which I know I'm not going to remember what it's called, but it's about this. He's an ultra runner, and he did this one in Mexico. So he goes into the thought process and the things that you think when you're, you know, going through the pain barrier to get out the other side. I mean, how on earth do you cope with that? The agony when you're doing a, you know, 10,000 meter. There must be a point where you think, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, you do. You do go through different zones, as you said. Mm. But you've got to love what you do. And often, you know, I know it's my job, and it's been quite a while, but it's something generally I do enjoy, being free and challenging yourself. And I always tell, it's a quote of mine, I always say to myself, you always got more than what you think you have. And that is all the time. Sometimes our body says, I can't do it. And the body is tired, but mentally you got to get through it and push yourself. And we're another elite athlete, you're always pushing yourself further and longer.
I mean, that's a skill in itself, isn't it, to push yourself through the pain barrier?
But you learn along, and I think a lot of it is to do with my upbringing and the challenges I find in my early days of being a kid. But that teaches you to be disciplined and to be focused.
Mm. So going back to your early days, you were born in Somalia and you were there until you were 8 years old. And do you have any memories from that time?
Not too much, but often for me, the hardest has been, you know, being at school, being, you know, couldn't speak the language, just communicating. I think that was a hard thing. But if it wasn't for sports, then I would never got further. So having sport and athletics helped me enable to interact with other kids and have fun and made it more enjoyable. But if it wasn't for that, then God knows what we're doing.
I mean, that just is such a testament, isn't it, to sport, how inclusive, I mean, it can be exclusive as well, but generally how inclusive it is and how it can break down barriers.
I think sports in general can break down a lot of barriers. Mm. Often we see it now and how difficult it is for kids and people in generally for mental health and throughout, you know, that we are struggling in a different way. But how do we get the best out of people? And I think it's been interacting with others, make events, sports, and even for kids particularly, you know, often the hardest thing is it's the kids, because often kids can't communicate as well as we can.
Mm. Were you bullied at school when you came over?
I wasn't bullied, but it wasn't easy, as should we say, in terms of, you know, growing up in Feltham. It wasn't easy. But at the same time, I never saw it as a challenge. I just saw it is what it is, and what do we need to do?
Because you left your twin behind and you didn't see him again for 12 years. So why did he stay and not come?
Yeah, I think that was the hard part, and that's the part I'm still kind of working at. But again, obviously it's not what you wanted, but it's never my choice, if that makes sense. And I have talked about it openly about it, but I think in a way, I don't know what it feels like. And often I try and rephrase to my kids how it is. And in this situation right now, obviously everything is okay. But at the times, I think there was a lot of issues with certain things, and I think that made it harder.
Mm. Who did he stay with?
Relative, my aunt. Is it totally different? You know, it is in Africa, as you said. Like, they have a lot of relative, uncles, aunts, and everybody. In the UK, often if my kids have, like, you go, uncle, whose uncle, where? Yeah. Unless you know the person. But in Africa, everybody's uncle, aunties, and cousins, and grandmas, and it's totally different.
So he was secure in his extended family.
Yeah.
And you've been back to see him, I imagine. And has he?
No, we have a close relationship. Here? He has 10 kids. He lives a different life.
10 kids.
Yeah, he has 10 kids. But we're still close, and that doesn't change anything. We still have a good banter between us. And often I say to him, I look at him and go, Yeah, when I stop running, I hope I don't look like you.
Oh my God, well, 10 kids, that I can't even get my head around that. But you met your wife Tanya, didn't you, when you were 13?
Yeah, we were same school, we were same athletics club, so I've known her, you know, pretty much all my life, pretty much in early years, and we're separate ways in life, where you go uni and then end up being together.
It's such a rare thing to happen, isn't it, that you've known the person you end up with since you were a child. It's very rare.
I've never got 4 kids, eh?
And now you've got 4 kids. So what are you up to at the moment?
So at the minute, I've got a lot of time in my hands. I've just been spending a lot of time with my kids, just getting involved more and often.
Yeah.
Because of my career, what I've been doing over the years, you know, that part has been always to the side and just let me do what I do. And now I'm actually full hands-on now.
It must be a real luxury for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. As I said, family is everything to me.
So you find, I mean, I find, because I've worked all my life, and when I had like a downturn in my work and I wasn't working so hard, and I basically have spent much more time with my children, my God, it's shattering. I mean, I find work so easy compared to with being a full-time mother.
For sure, me too. And often, you know, my wife did a great job of always taking the activities, just getting them day to day, what they need. And often that's not easy, like following a school schedule, knowing like when they got sports, the games they have and birthday parties, just getting organized. For me, I find that hard because I honestly thought over the years just about myself and what I need to do in order for me to race or run well. This is what I need to do. And you kind of, you know, take it for granted, but you leave that, you know, family and other things, people to take care of it. And now I've not run much, so just hopefully we'll get back into some kind of running some point soon.
Have you been literally not running at all?
Last time I ran is almost 3 months coming up. A single step. Well, apart from the other day, I would just kind of jog, if that would make sense. I just jog like a 5K, but that was the first time.
So that you could do now, no problem?
Yeah, because my body's so conditioned, so over the years, to me, I find it easy, even if I have like a lot of time off. Obviously, I won't run as fast as I should do to when I fit, but you can still run.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you miss it at the moment? Do you miss the kind of go, just like opening the door and going, right, I'm going to go for a run?
No, I miss it. I do miss it. And over time, it was something, you know, my hobby becoming like a full-time job. And then I never saw it as a job. And obviously, you know, it was my job to run every day. And you just get conditioned to it and you run every day. And the days that you don't run, you're like, what do I do with myself? You know, you've got a lot of energy. Even now, I'm at home and doing bits and bobs with the kids and just trying to keep myself occupied. I think that's the hardest, because you've been so used to it every day, twice a day, go run, you go gym, just everything you do is just the purpose of running. And now you had that lot of time off, you're like, ooh, what am I going to do? Where am I?
But don't you find also, it's like, has it ever gone through your mind, like not only where am I, but who am I?
Trying to find that out. Who am I? And why am I good at this? And what do I need to do? How come I did this? And as I said, like, I'm still not finished running and I want to continue for another a year or so. But at the same time, it's just kind of, you take it now, just kind of taking a step back and you just seeing for what it is.
Yeah.
Just trying to work out.
Didn't you find, I mean, don't you find that difficult? And the only thing I can equate it to is that I was in television for many years with my partner, Trini. And we were known as Trini and Susanna. You know, it was like someone would see just me on my own in the street and they go, I'd overhear someone say, oh, look, there's Trini and Susanna. So yeah. It was always our names together, never on my own. And suddenly when we stopped, I was like, who am I? And I found that really tough to kind of discover who the hell I was, because I wasn't part of his team and I wasn't doing that I'd done for so many years. So just, has that affected you much in that way?
A little bit. You do find it, because who am I? That's the question. So I've obviously, you know, achieved great things in life and throughout my career, but the purpose, who am I? What am I like? What am I thinking? I'm kind of just discovering, because often, as I said, a lot of people see you because they see you on TV, they see what you did. And also the expectation of you is different to reality. And when you get in conversation with people, I'll go down a local pub on Sunday with my family. I like to be able to just kind of, you know, go down the local pub, have Sunday roast, have normal stuff, and just be chill. And they're like, oh, what are you doing here? That's what you do often. You know, you're just a normal guy. And I think sometimes seeing that and people's reaction and stuff like that sometimes is a bit different. You're like, I'm just a normal.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, do you find that side of you, did you find it kind of, you wanted to try harder to get Mo Farah out, Mo Farah the person out, as opposed to Mo Farah the runner? You know, so it's like you try and shine a magnifying glass almost on your personality as opposed to your achievements.
I think so. I think my achievement's been great, but the reality is, you know, go just enjoy the normal things we do every day. And for me, as myself, what I see, I love to be able to, you know, give back to the community, to younger kids, and show what is possible and what is like to normal person to do that. You can do that. Have achieved great things, but it doesn't mean you have to carry yourself a certain way or you have to talk a certain way. You could be you.
Yeah. I mean, physically, do you think anyone can be a runner, or are there, you know, certain physical traits that make it harder?
I think running is one of the things. What you put in is what you get up on the other side. And I think to a certain degree, everybody can run or do certain things in just general stuff. They can do it. But how far you pursue to that is a different level. Like myself, you know, we're talking about elite level in terms of, you know, the best of the world, what you have to compete in terms of competition. We're talking about like way up there. But in terms of just a normal, anybody can run. And often, like, I engage with my wife who runs a bit now and running quite a lot and training and stuff like that. And I just see it. She enjoys it. And I think you can enjoy it. It depends how you see it as.
I mean, I always see running, because that's the one thing I do consistently is running. And for me, it's freedom.
Be free and come back from that run and you're like, you just feel great.
Yeah, you never regret going for a run. It might be agony to get your fat ass out the door, but you go and it's just like, and you see so much more and you can process things. For me, it's the best form of therapy you can have, physical and emotional.
No, for sure. And I think the thing is just go and enjoy, do something, you know, been out and be active. And even with my kids, I've seen it a lot, and I'll just try and just encourage them not to make them run, but just kind of every day, like we try and do, just make them run a mile or just go for a little jog. It just helps. Instead of being, you know, on the iPad and stuff, and just get them to be just a little bit more active, because when they're active, they can do more stuff.
Mm. How old are your children now?
So my oldest is 16, and I've got my twin girls are 9, 2012, and then my son's birthday is tomorrow, actually. He's going to be 6.
That's so great. And have any of them, do any of them aspire to follow in your shoes? Or have you put them off?
I haven't put them off. And my youngest, he loves running, playing football. The twins kind of just, I just help him in putting him in different activities. As you said, like they do quite a lot of stuff anyway, generally all around, if it's hockey or swimming or gymnastic, just anything they want to do. But I'd also just try and encourage them just running. And I think it's one of these things, you know, where you, as you said, we talked about the body shape, how well they are. And you can see your kids, you know, which one that's more, you know, narrow frame and where they could say, oh, she'd be quite good at running because, you know, the longer distance. And then the other one, slightly bigger frame, good at swimming and stuff, broad shoulders. So you kind of just see things that you can put them into it. But I never want to be that parent where you go, you need to do this, you need to do. I think they're almost finding out themselves what they're good at. And you just, as a parent, all we can do is support and encourage them.
Exactly, it's so true. But Mo, look at you. You're kind of dressed today, as I expected to see you, in a tracky top. But I'm presume, but there was an amazing ad of you, actually, which you did for a watch campaign. And you're wearing a camel coat, and you look so handsome. You are so handsome. But do you live in tracksuits, or do clothes play a more important role for you?
No, I do live in tracksuit bottoms, and often it's what I find comfortable. And been around the house, been, you know, taking my kids into different sport activities, all kinds of stuff. I am in tracksuit bottoms. I don't know if even when I do the parents drop my kids at school, it takes me 5 minutes to get ready. I brush my teeth, get ready, have a coffee, drop them off with my tracksuit bottoms.
And you don't even have to brush your hair.
Oh, good thing I have no hair.
I can't imagine you with hair. You suit being bald so well. I can't imagine you, that iconic face.
Yeah, no, but when I used to have it, Tiny used to platform me. I used to often go around the house and she would braid it for me. And
that's so cool. But do you have only tracksuits in your wardrobe, or do you have anything else? Do you enjoy clothes?
No, I do enjoy clothes. I think everybody do enjoy scrubbing up now and then and putting on a suit or a nice shirt and shoes. I am into my shoes, and I do collect Jordans. That's what I'm into. So often I do try and put
a
pair of Jordans now and then. I try not wear it too many times and then just keep changing up.
They are worth a fun, because my son, he collects trainers.
Does he?
And he sold a pair of Jordans for, I mean, just like silly money. I was like, for God's sake, Joe, you got more than I could sell like a dining room table or something. When you were traveling endlessly, was there anything that you took with you that and also when you went to live in America for 7 years, was there anything that you took with you, or do you have anything that is like a comfort blanket? It could be metaphorically a comfort blanket or something that you actually wear.
I think over the years when I was traveling a lot and kind of missed my kids, there was I had a mug with their pictures on it, one mug, and then I had a pillowcase that I always took it with me. So whenever I was away for a long time, I always take that.
And so the pillowcase had their photograph on it too, did it? Oh, God. It's so hard being away from family. I mean, I just, you must have spent so many years accumulatively.
I
mean,
if you add up, I think average, I was away 6 months to 5 months minimum.
Wow. That's so tough. But it must have been almost harder for you than your children.
It got harder now because my son is that age at 6 and he gets it now a little bit. But when he was like 3 or 4, he doesn't know what you're doing. He's like asking the questions, why do you even have to go away? Why do you have to do it? And you've got to find the reason why you're doing it. You are doing it as well as yourself for them. But at the same time, it's like, what is the reason doing it? And it actually makes you think, why am I doing it? And for me, that was the hardest, knowing why you're doing it.
Okay, so what was your answer to yourself?
I was like,
look,
I want to make you proud. I want to make the nation proud. I want to let me just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And I think general goal was obviously, you know, to just make most of myself and for my career.
Did you ever at any point feel guilty that you were being selfish in your pursuit?
Yeah.
For excellence.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a lot of times it goes through your mind, am I being selfish? Am I doing the right thing? What is the right thing?
Yeah. And so would you, if they'd said, we just can't, you know, please don't go, please don't go, please don't go, would you have stopped? Or was it the adult in you said, look, kids, you know, you're going to look back on this. I want to be an example of someone that you can be proud of and respect and that you can go off and do yourself.
No, for sure. I want to be an example for the others. And I think even if you said to me, listen, Mo, you're going to win one gold medal, I would have said, yeah, all right, I'll take that years back. And then once you get taste of it, you want to keep doing it. You wanted it more than anything else. And I feel like at times, you know, I can make a difference. And you just getting the best out of yourself, if that makes sense. And you know, as an athlete's career is short. It's not often you stay there for this amount of years.
Mm.
So you have to make most of it.
But it must be like, you know, then it's almost like you have to share yourself with more than just your family, because you do have this, you know, you have so many kids and people who admire you, and you must have given away a lot of yourself.
No, you do, but you enjoy what you do. I just enjoy what I do and make most of it.
Yeah. Okay, so wardrobe malfunction. Have you ever running had a kind of disaster when your kit has let you down, or anything at any time in your life where your clothes have let you down?
Once I was about to race, and I bought the wrong pair of spikes. I had a smaller size and a bigger size, and I bought the smaller size, and I wore them, and I ended up getting blisters. But that was just a normal thing. And then the other thing was, oh, this is just me being silly. I had one shoe was one colour and another shoe different colour, and I tried to go across to them, like, so you got one of each. And one of them was slightly smaller, and end up going blisters and going, and I wasn't there to tell my coach. Gary was like, you can't do that. Why would you do it? So I'm often doing crazy things, but then that's why you've got good people around you to make sure you're okay.
But that's about being organised. And if you've got, you know, people to support you, you don't have to be organised yourself. But are you quite a disorganised person?
I'm very disorganised.
Generally.
You walk in my room, I've been in there for 2 hours, and it's a tip. Like, you're like, you just arrived a couple of hours ago. And I'm like, yeah, I just like to be free. But that's just me. Well, my house is different. Like, Tanya, my wife, is totally opposite. Like, organized stuff, everything planned. And I'm like, what? And for me, I don't like to make anything complicated. So I'd rather deal with it later on than try and think about it and go, this. But then I've noticed it makes our life easier being organized. So I'm still learning, but I'll probably come halfway now. I'm not quite there yet. It's just in the middle.
Do you have a disorganized mind? Do you have a mind that is always thinking, racing, racing, thinking? Yeah.
Yeah, my mind's always thinking about everything. Like, I get excited. I'm like, let's do this. But sometimes it's like, you get too excited. Just chill out.
Yeah.
I could do that in running, chill out and be at the back and come right at the back time. But other things, I do get excited. I'm like a little kid.
It's funny, you remind me so much of my daughter, the one who ran next door to you, started. You remind me so much of her in the way you think. And I can see I can feel your energy, and she's exactly the same. It's just like, and she never explodes.
No.
It's just this energy that's just always, and it's exhausting to be around sometimes for other people.
Yeah, sometimes you're like, there's so much, you're like, just chill out. Okay, I'm chilling. But I've got to find something to do. And I think I was lucky enough that being able to do athletics and get into running, because you can use that energy to running. And I still do. But I think the key thing is like using that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mo, final question. You were knighted by the Queen in 2017. Actually, two more questions. This one, sorry, that's the dogs in the background. You were knighted by the Queen in 2017. What did you wear?
Oh, mate, I wore the special suit, hanging at the back, top hat. I looked, they've still got pictures of it, and I go, I'm looking all right there.
I do actually remember it. You did look very, very cool. And would you consider that outfit to be your birthday suit, something that you put on and makes you feel
great? Yeah, I would. If everybody dressed the same, I would. Or we're going to a race course, watching, you know, a race or something like that, you would.
Yeah. Oh, Mo. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, because I can hear, I think, some of those children of yours have returned. And it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so, so much for taking
my pleasure.
The time.
Take care. And enjoy yourself, whatever you do.
All right, you too. Thank you, Mo. What a kind-hearted gent he is. You can find him at mofarah.com and we'll put his social links in our show notes. And you can keep up to date with us at My Ward Mal on our socials, on our website at mywardmal.com, or by dropping us an email at help@mywardmal.com. And you can, of course, always subscribe, rate and review us on your chosen podcast platform. Finally, you can find our wonderful house band duo at duoguitarmusic.com or at duoguitarmusic on their socials. Right, that's it. Thanks so much again to Mo, to Duo, and of course, thanks to you guys for listening. Catch up soon. Until then, my wardrobe is officially closed.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.